KJAN Sports.
Time for Check of Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center at 2nd and Poplar in Atlantic. See them for all of your automotive needs. In high school volleyball play around the area last night, first in the Hawkeye 10 Conference, it was Denison defeating Atlantic in three straight, 25-22, 25-9, and 25-13 were the game scores. Creston posting a three-game sweep over Shenandoah last night. Harlan wins twice as they defeated Glenwood three in a row. Harlan also beats St. Albert in three straight. St. Albert defeated Glenwood 3-0. It was Lewis Central over Kemper Catholic 3-1, and Red Oak down in Clarinda in three straight games last night. From the Western Iowa Conference, Griswold posting a three-game sweep over Logan Magnolia. Missouri Valley downed AHSTW 3-0, and it was Traynor over Tri-Center 3-1. In the Rolling Valley Conference, Adair Casey downing Peyton Sherdan in three straight. Exira EHK beat Charter Oak Ute 3-0. Also, Coon Rapids Baird in three wins over West Harrison. Also around the region in volleyball, Bedford defeating Southwest Valley 3-1. Fremont Mills beat Sydney 3-1. Guthrie Center took 3 of 4 from Earlham. Mount Air defeating East Union 3-1. Nottoway Valley beating Lennox by a score of 3-1. Stanton went the distance, beating East Mills 3-2. And it was Woodward Granger over Panorama 3-0 last night in girls volleyball. Well, the St. Louis Cardinals are going to the National League Championship Series after beating Clayton Kershaw once again. And the San Francisco Giants have earned a trip to St. Louis by winning their National League Division Series against the top-seeded Washington Nationals. Matt Adams launched a go-ahead 3-run homer in the 7th inning to lift the Redbirds past the Los Angeles Dodgers 3-2 in Game 4 of the National League Division Series. Kershaw had a one-hit shutout until Matt Holliday and Johnny Peralta opened the bottom of the 7th with back-to-back singles. Adams then followed with a blast just 2 pitches later to chase Kershaw and put the Redbirds in the NLCS for the 4th straight year. The 7th inning was also the kiss of death for Kershaw in Game 1. He entered that frame last Friday with a 6-2 lead and left trailing 7-6 before he was eventually charged with 8 runs in 6 2/3 innings. He's 1-5 with a 5.12 earned run average in 11 postseason games and 0-4 with a 6.14 ERA in 5 games against the Cardinals. The Cardinals got 3 1/3 shutout innings from the bullpen, although closer Trevor Rosenthal made things interesting by putting 2 runners on base before getting Carl Crawford to hit a series-ending groundout. Marco Gonzalez worked the 7th as he picked up the victory. Well, the Giants allowed just 4 hits and scored the tie-breaking run on a wild pitch in the 7th inning to take Game 4 of their series 3-2 over the Nationals, and that put San Francisco in the NLCS for the 3rd time in 5 seasons. The Giants won without the benefit of an RBI hit. They went ahead 2-0 in the 3rd inning on Gregor Blanco's bases-loaded walk and Joe Panik's RBI grounder following a throwing error by pitcher Gio Gonzalez. The Nationals eventually tied the game before Panik scored the go-ahead run on a wild pitch by reliever Aaron Barrett in the 7th inning. San Francisco almost scored a 2nd run in the 7th while Barrett was issuing an intentional walk. Barrett uncorked a pitch that went to the backstop, causing Buster Posey to break for the plate. The ball bounced directly back to catcher Wilson Ramos, who threw to Barrett at the plate and nailed Posey. That extra run wasn't missed after Santiago Casilla worked a scoreless 9th to finish off the series. Giants starter Ryan Vogelsong gave up just 2 hits in 5 2/3 innings and left with a 2-1 lead. He was in line to get the win until Bryce Harper hit a game-tying solo homer off Hunter Strickland. Gonzalez was lifted for a pinch hitter after he worked just 4 innings. He was reached for a pair of unearned runs and 4 hits. Game 1 of the National League Championship Series is set for Saturday. That'll be in St. Louis. Well, the expectations that accompanied Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer were largely unfair, and anybody in the Kansas City Royals front office would probably be willing to admit it. Moustakas was the 2nd overall pick in the 2007 first-year player draft. Hosmer went 3rd overall the following year. Together, the third baseman and the first baseman were general manager Dayton Moore's cornerstones in his plan to build a contender. Perhaps now they're finally living up to those expectations. Moustakas hit a go-ahead homer in the 11th inning in Game 1 of their American League Division Series against the Angels. Hosmer hit a 2-run shot in the 11th inning the next night. And in the clincher on Sunday night, both of them went deep in an 8-3 Royals victory. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says everyone will find out together how effective the Hawkeyes' two-quarterback system will be and how long it lasts. Iowa hosts Indiana Saturday, and Jake Rudock will get the start after missing the Big Ten opener at Purdue. C.J. Beathard is also expected to play after leading the Hawkeyes to a pair of road victories.
We're not even sure what the plan is right now totally, but bottom line is we have two guys we feel really good about. It's not like a broken record on this one, I apologize, but both guys have played well. Jake's done a great job for us, and CJ when called upon has really played well too, so we'll just try to figure out the best way to work it.
Ferentz says there's no set plan right now on how much each quarterback will play, and he says he's not concerned that the system will damage the confidence of both players.
You know, what we're worried about is moving the football and scoring points, and I think both players are worried about that too. So, we've got a pretty unselfish group of guys. We haven't played the best, but we've really been this is a fun group to work with. They got a great attitude, and they work extremely hard, and they care a lot about each other. So, that's at least my concern. I think the biggest thing is us moving the football and scoring points.
Indiana is 3-2 on the season, and Ferentz says the Hoosiers are starting to turn the corner under Kevin Wilson.
They're very close. I mean, they're really close. They beat us 2 years ago. And really, since Kevin has gotten there, I mean, you can just see the improvement that they've made. And it was a tough game for us in 2011, too. So they were playing hard back then. They weren't as talented in 2011, but they've been moving the ball and scoring points basically against anybody.
In a year with few impressive non-conference wins for Big Ten teams, the Hoosiers may have posted the most impressive one with an upset victory at Missouri. They'll try to pull another upset on Saturday. We'll have that game for you here on KJAN. 11:05 is kickoff. We're on the air at 9 o'clock with the pregame show Saturday morning. Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Tom Bahali is lending his support to a humanitarian organization that plans to open a clinic in his native Liberia to help combat the Ebola epidemic. Bahali was joined Tuesday by officials from Heart to Heart International, which is based in suburban Kansas City, to announce the construction of a clinic near the capital of Monrovia that will offer 70 beds for patients stricken by the disease. Liberia has been among the hardest hit of the West African nations at the center of the months-long outbreak, which has killed at least 3,500 people. Ali fled with his father from Liberia at the age of 10 when it was in the midst of a bloody civil war. He still has family there, but they have not been infected with Ebola. The Detroit Lions have signed Matt Prater to a one-year deal in their latest effort to fix their early kicking woes. The Broncos cut ties with Prater earlier this month when the 30-year-old kicker was about to come off a four-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Prater made 25 of 26 field goals last season, including a record-setting 64-yarder against Tennessee. Prater joins the Lions after Nate Freeze and Alex Henry combined to miss 8 of their 12 field goal attempts. NFL owners will meet today to discuss the league's personal conduct policy, vote on the sale of the Buffalo Bills, and look at further international play. These are critical meetings for the owners, with Commissioner Roger Goodell under fire for his handling of the Ray Rice case and with several high-profile player arrests involving domestic abuse. Their discussions of social responsibility and the personal conduct policy initiatives will overshadow approval of the purchase of the Bills. The transaction is considered certain, with three-quarters of the teams needing to vote in favor of the sale to Buffalo Sabres owners Terry and Kim Pegula. They'll also receive reports on the league's games in London, three this year for the first time, with two still to come. The NFL has an eye on adding more London games, perhaps as soon as next season. And Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson will be in a Texas courtroom for the first time since being indicted last month on a felony child abuse charge. Peterson is facing a charge of injury to a child. He said that he never intended to harm his 4-year-old son by spanking him with a tree branch earlier this year in Montgomery County, north of Houston. A spokeswoman for Peterson's attorney says the NFL player will plead not guilty if asked to enter a plea during this morning's hearing in Conroe. If convicted, Peterson faces up to 2 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Last month, the Vikings placed Peterson on indefinite paid leave so he could focus on his personal life. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.